All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Adam Corin. I'm the Director of Training at Maestro Conference, and I am really excited you're here. This is the Release Your Inner Geek Advanced Training Call, and thank you so much for taking your time to be here today, either live or listening to the recording. So first of all, I just can't go any further before I just, I'm just so grateful that for each of you showing up. I mean, I'm looking at this list of participants and just, I know many of you, I've worked with you, trained you, talked with you, quite a few of you, and just really appreciate your interest in learning everything there is to know about Maestro Conference and really using it to the best of your ability. Because I know what's behind that is your commitment to your participants and that they have a really phenomenal experience with you. So we are all on the same page in terms of our shared commitment to that. So, very good. So I would love to give you access to my screen share as usual. So you can go to maestroconference.com/screenshare, and you can do that now. And good, so one more time, the link is maestroconference.com/screenshare, and I will check in with you guys in a little bit to make sure that that's working. And first, what I want to check in with a few of you, and as you guys know, I like to hear from people at the beginning of the call. And again, the reason for that is I find the more I can engage with people at the beginning of the call, the more likely they are to stay on and stay engaged throughout the call. So I'd love to hear from some of you. Eric Troth, do you mind if I just call on you and want to welcome you? And I'm curious what inspired you to take your time today? What are you excited to hear more about?
Yeah, hi, Adam. I'm just always wanting to find more about, you know, the little ins and outs of using this platform because I sense so much potential of where we can go in conducting our calls and really making a difference for the participants. So just, you know, any little tips and where we can run with that and brainstorm together, it's exciting for me. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Eric. And Cheryl Ebner, I'd love to hear from you. What brought you to the call today and what are you excited to hear more about?
Well, lately we've been doing quite a few of the Maestro conferences and sharing with PowerPoint and just want to make sure I've got all the information on how to use it to the best and work with our participants and keep them engaged.
Great. Awesome. Thanks, Cheryl. And Dave Buck, so glad you made it today. What inspired you to take your time today?
Wow. Well, being as Maestro is like my second home, I figure if there's I should always be aware of what any new renovations or developments in my home. So
yeah,
I mean I'm on Maestro like 10, 15 hours a week at least.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, come on, people, I live on this thing. What's happening?
Very good. Thanks, Dave. I'll definitely be giving some updates, and thank you so much. That's great. I'm sure you're not alone. Let's do a quick poll. I've never done a poll like this. If you spend more than 5 hours a week on a Maestro conference call, would you press 1 on your phone? And if you'd say you spend more than 10 hours a week, press 2. And if you spend 15 or more, press 3. And I know you're, you know, just estimating. But a quick straw poll there for our advanced crowd here. Oh, my goodness, we do have some threes along with you, Dave.
I'm not the only one. Good to know.
excellent. Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. And I'm going to be hearing from more of you hopefully throughout this call. And thanks for letting me just call on you. Like that. Anyone else have a burning share, something that brought you to the call that you want to share with me and with everyone about? Go ahead and press 4 on your phone, and I will hear from you. And I'm going to sort the hands so I can see the 4s immediately. Joanna, hi.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Hi. We do a weekly call and sometimes 2. So sometimes I'm over 5 hours, but usually it's around more like 2-3 hours. I did have a problem that I wanted to ask about, which was at one point my computer screen froze, and we were doing a call, and we asked for hands, and no hands turned up, but I think it's because the computer froze, and I had no idea who was putting their hands up.
Right.
So I just wanted to ask, is there anything I can do in that situation, or maybe just to another computer, probably?
Yeah, I would certainly do that. So, and Joanna, thank you for the question, and I'll be getting more into some of that. One of the things I'm planning on covering is how do you lead a call without the interface? So I'm going to give you some tips about that.
Right.
But yeah, even if your computer is frozen or internet's down, first thing is try to get that back up, and then second is if you can't get it back up, I'll give you some tips later on. So.
Right.
Good. Thanks, Joanna. And one more, Harvey. Hi, Harvey.
Hey, Adam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, well, the first fellow spoke more about his home. It's kind of becoming for me a pup tent. And I've led 3 Maestro calls now, and each seems to be a little bit more disastrous than the other. The last one is because I didn't really know I wasn't supposed to check in not only once as a participant, but twice as a participant, and that a participant somehow is a very different phenomenon than a presenter. So I have found somebody in my group of the Archimedes Writers Association who is going to actually co-lead with me, but I just want to keep putting myself around you because your explanations are so clear.
Oh, thank you, Harvey. I appreciate that. Good. And excellent. Thank you for that. So I'm sure you're not alone in running into some kind of issue or snag on the system. I've led in many calls and driven many calls on the system, and a lot of how I came to be as experienced as I am is I have screwed up a lot. Okay, so I could tell you many stories of pretty major errors I made, especially in the beginning, but even more recently. And my point in saying that is just to remind you that I'm human and I make tons of errors with this as well, and I think that's pretty normal. And sometimes, unfortunately, they really affect the experience of the participants. So I just want to say that happens. And we're all kind of doing our best and doing our best to be graceful about it when mistakes do happen. So let's see. I can't go any further without welcoming and thanking my colleague here, Joshua Edwards. Welcome to the call. And by the way, thank you so much for being here. And so first of all, hello and welcome.
Oh, thank you, Adam. It's really great to see so many friends and folks that I know and have worked with as well on our system, and I'm definitely one of those people who press 3 for being on our system so frequently. And as our business development executive here with Maestro, I really see how all the work that everyone is doing on our calls, deeply affects people's lives, and I just admire you all immensely for being here. And on a technical level, it'd be great to check in about getting on to screen share so that everyone can see what we're doing.
Excellent. Thanks, Joshua. Let's do that now. So I'm going to lower the hands. How many of you are seeing my screen right now? If you're seeing my screen, press 1. And if you're not seeing my screen for any reason, press 2, please. And if you're just coming on the last few minutes, the link is maestroconference.com/screenshare as usual. Again, maestroconference.com/screenshare. And I see most of you are on, and there are 5 of you who pressed 2 and about 10 of you who haven't pressed 1 or 2. So it's either one or the other, I'm thinking. You're either seeing my screen or you're not. So if you could press 1 or 2, that'd be great. Okay, there we go. 1 if you're seeing my screen and 2 if you're not. And there are still a few of you who haven't pressed 1 or 2, so that's great. That'd be great if you would press 1 or 2. Now, if you're just working on it now, if you just got the link and you're popping it in, no problem. If you have some kind of technical thing you want to ask for some quick support about, would you press 3? And I'll see if I can troubleshoot with a couple of you, and then with the rest of you. Joshua, I'm going to ask you to support in a private breakout. But is this Patty or Irema here?
Hi, it's Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Coming. Well, no, it's not. Okay, now I can. It just took a long
good.
Time.
So yeah, long. Yes. Sometimes it takes a little while. Glad it's working. Eric, how about you?
Yeah, I've got maestroconference.com/screenshare, and I keep refreshing, but it's not popping up for me. I'm getting a blank page.
A blank page, okay. Huh. I'm not used to hearing that. Can you try a different browser?
That might be. I'll switch to a different browser. Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I'll put your hand back as a two. I'm not seeing any other threes right now, and just a handful of twos. So I'm tempted to just keep going. Again, once more, the link is maestroconference.com/screenshare. And Joshua, that's my instinct. And what do you think? Should we just keep
that
moving?
Works.
All right.
Sure. If somebody else needs some more support, you can just press 5 at any time throughout the course
Perfect.
Of the call, and I'll
yeah.
be where you are.
Excellent. Thanks so much for that, Joshua. So 5 if you've got any kind of technical issue on the call, whether it's with the screen share or something else. By the way, I'm sure many of you are and great. Joshua, do you want to create a private breakout for those 5s?
Sure.
Great. Thank you. And I'm sure there are some of you who are interested in our new screen share development, which we've been working on for months now. And we are just releasing some of that today into our initial beta testing group. So I'll be speaking more about that later on in the call. So just wanted to at least acknowledge that up front in case you're curious and anxiously awaiting news on that. So I'm going to string you along just for a little bit more and talk about that more later. But the main focus of our call today is really about geeky, advanced stuff that I normally don't get time to talk about in the regular clinics that I lead twice a week that most of you have already been on. So that's our main agenda for today. So I'm going to be offering a bunch of those tips. But first, I want to give you some more time to hear from each other, as we got to hear from a few people at the beginning. I also want to give the rest of you, I want to give everyone a chance to speak. So I'm going to go ahead. I see Joshua is in that breakout group, in a private breakout group, so he can't hear us along with the 5s, if you guys, for those of you seeing my screen. So I'm going to go ahead and set up breakout groups. I'm going to select everyone else. So here we go. So one advanced tip here is from this drop-down menu, you might not be familiar with solo participants. Solo means everyone who's not in a breakout group at the moment. Okay, so John Boswell just came out of breakout group. Hi, John. So I'm going to hit solo participants again. And now that's going to include him. And you can see, if you've ever wondered about participants in the upper right and what solo means, that's what it means. It refers to participants who are not in a breakout group at the moment. So I've got the rest of you, all of you highlighted except for the ones Joshua is supporting at the moment. And I'm going to go to the right-hand side and hit create. And there are 30 of you, and I was planning groups of 3. So that is just perfect. So it's got all currently selected callers, and then groups of 3. Now, I know some of you aren't seeing my screen, so again, if you can get there, that's great, maestroconference.com/screenshare, and try a different browser if the one you're, if you're having trouble with your current browser. Okay, so I was thinking of mixing you guys based on custom 1, okay, which I had asked about your whether you're a driver, presenter, or both. So I'm going to mix you guys based on that. Okay, great. So the groups are set up. I'm going to sort by the breakout groups and mute you guys in case you have any background noise. Okay. Let's do that one more time. Oh, I see. There are no solo participants anymore because you are in your breakout groups, technically. Okay, good. Very good. So I'm going to go ahead and launch these groups. The topic that I want to give you is how are you using Maestro Conference, and what are you appreciating about it? So those are the questions for this breakout group. I'm going to give you I'm going to give you guys 4 minutes for this breakout. You're in groups of three, so you'll have about a minute each. Okay, so 4 minutes total. Press five if you want me to come over to your group, and away we go. 4 minutes. Please say hi and introduce yourself. You're in your breakouts now. Please begin. 1 more minute. Okay, wrap it up. You can thank your partners. All right, and coming all back together. Good. So I hope you enjoyed getting to connect with one or two other Maestro Conference users, and hoping that was a good conversation. So many of you have been through this with me. All I do to come out of breakout groups is I simply mic myself, give you a chance to wrap it up, and then just continue talking, and then select participants and hit mute. Okay. So very good. I would love to take some sharing about how that breakout was for you, the connection with your partners, and I'm ready for a couple of specific questions before we get into the tips. So go ahead and press 1 if you have a question, and we'll do that first before we go any further. So any questions about the breakouts or comments, go ahead and press 1. Martin, we'll start with you. Hi, Martin.
Hello. Really enjoying being here, Adam. It's especially interesting watching the screen share in real time, and it's almost like I want to go over to my mouse and do something, and I realize, no, wait, this isn't my dashboard.
Right. I'm sure you're not alone in that.
Yeah, yep. It's cool, though. It's very helpful. I'm noticing in my, I do 3-4 one-hour workshops a week, and in the social service field. And these are people who, they're the touchy-feely crowd and school counselors, social workers, et cetera, and they're used to talking and at least, being friendly and stuff. And at normal sit-and-get conferences, I have no problem doing breakouts where they're with strangers. But there's something about when they're just on the telephone, I both sense and then get feedback it's uncomfortable for them. And I'm wondering if you or other people have tips about how to deal with that. I've learned the hard way that, make your breakout groups like, say, 4, not 2. Other than that, is there some way to you understood the question.
Yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit more about the discomfort. Can you say a little bit more about what do you mean by that? What specifically is uncomfortable?
I give them a pretty benign, it would be just like our breakout that you just had us do.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward questions, and I'm not asking them to bare their soul or anything. It's pretty straightforward stuff. But as I lurk from breakout group to breakout group, I kind of listen in privately, not for any length of time to really be, lurking, but just to be making sure people are talking and all that kind of thing. There's just this sort of, maybe it's that it's so novel to them, but they seem uncomfortable. And some of the feedback I get using SurveyMonkey is, I don't like the breakouts. I didn't want to be in the breakout.
Good. I want to tap the wisdom of the group. I mean, I could offer one or two things, but I don't feel, I'd rather hear from you guys. So if you have a response for Martin, would you press 3 on your phone? And Joshua, I see you press 2. Did you have something you wanted to offer?
Absolutely, Martin. I hear you, and I really get where you're coming from. And a couple of simple things that I often do on the calls that I facilitate, just to really prepare people for the experience, and I learned these tips from our advanced Maestro trainer, Dave Ellis. He's the facilitator of the Falling Awake workshop, and he's helped over 5 million people live a more wonderful life through his Falling Awake work. And one of the things that he often invites people to do is to write down their response to the question he asks before they go into their breakout groups, So he'll give people like a minute, and there'll be a full minute of silence, and he'll, you know, put it right there on the timer on the conductor's interface. So he'll ask a question like, just something simple even, you know, like, what's great about your life right now? And then I'll have people write for a minute a whole list of things they love about their lives. And then when they get into their breakout groups, they're really prepared to share, you know, in a really crisp and focused way. Does that make sense, Martin?
Sure, yeah, it does. It does.
Great. And then on a simple level, one thing that people can do to kind of have, to mitigate that awkward, like, who goes first, sort of silence, like, who am I in a breakout room with? Are there two people here, three people? What's going on? You know, Dave often invites his participants just to start with the person whose first name is closest to the letter A, or you could make anything up, right? But on the phone, you can't just say, whoever has, you know, the longer hair, you know,
right,
please begin. So whatever you choose, that way it's, you're automatically saying like, okay, the person named Angie, they have to just take the initiative and go ahead and begin. And after they've written down their response to your question, you know, they're prepared and they just, it flows very smoothly. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Do other people have issues with this discomfort?
Yeah, well, Martin, it looks like a bunch of people want to contribute something to you. Yeah, I don't know if you're seeing that, but let's hear from Jillian first. Jillian, what are your ideas about mitigating that discomfort?
Actually, the gentleman that just spoke had said sort of the big picture view here is that you just want to make them as comfortable as possible. So give them as many tricks going in so that whoever it is that's going to speak first knows going in that they're going to speak and sort of prime the pump. And I find that when you're asking people to step up, that the more you make it easier for them to step up, the more that they recognize that they're the scout, if you will, the front runner, then everybody else will bolster them as well. So asking them to help each other, just telling them it's going to be hard, makes it easier for them. You know, we know that nobody likes to break out. I don't like breakouts. You know, it's difficult. If you're in a room of people that you don't know and you think, just even for a minute, I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, I always have this piece that says, I'm an imposter, I know I'm not as smart as everybody else, and then find out that you are. And I think that kind of thing really helps people be able to step up and stretch, which is what we're trying to get them to do.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Jillian. Okay, good. I see a lot of you have other things, and if we had a lot more time, I would take more, but I'm eager to move on. So, Joshua,
That's
did
fine.
You?
That's fine, thank you.
Sure. One other quick, simple thing you can do is give people the questions in the email, right, that you would be asking on the call. So they're prepared. They've got, you know, plenty of advanced notice. Oh, on this call, we're going to go into breakout rooms, and we're going to talk about these three questions. So, you know, they're able to really reflect.
Yeah, great.
Great. And I'll offer one quick thing as well, which is to maybe you're saying you're using really benign questions. You might want to experiment with more provocative questions, more something that forces people to dig into themselves a little bit more, so there's less focus on the awkwardness and more just on their own reflection. So, so that's another possibility. Good. Thanks, Martin. That was a rich inquiry. Let's go to Donna next, and then we'll get into some specific tips. Donna, over to you.
Hi, Adam. Thank you. Actually, mine's more a technical question.
Good.
I'm wondering if some browsers work better with Maestro than others.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I've heard is Chrome works great. I tend to just use Firefox, and Firefox works great for me. So I've heard Chrome, but I don't really have a lot of data on that for you. But it's a good question.
Okay, then I guess the other part of my question is, obviously you have lots of resources at your fingertips. If something goes wrong, if we have technical issues during one of our conferences, how do we get help and support, especially if it's off hours?
Yeah, great question. Well, we did recently expand our hours. You guys might have seen that from just 9 to 6 to 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time. And that is Monday through Friday. So, yeah, there are going to be, like if you're leaving a call early morning or late night, or just if you're not in the United States, or if you're leaving a call on the weekend, there may be a chance that you wouldn't that customer support wouldn't be available. So hopefully some of the tips I'll give today, like about how to lead a call without access to computer or internet, might be helpful to you. But yeah, it's you know, I would just kind of make the best of it. When you are on our customer support hours, I want to make sure all of you know that in the upper right-hand corner, there is a button there that says chat with support. So just want you guys to all know about that, and it's there for you if you ever need it. That'll get you to a live agent who can support you with whatever issue might be coming up. They can even come on to your call. Okay, so that's there, and then, of course, you can always call as well our customer support number. Does that help at all, Donna?
That does. Unfortunately, our class is Sunday afternoon, but
I think you're
right. With what you're going to talk about today, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, good. And
thank you.
And then another, you're welcome, one more option is to actually have a driver on your call. Joshua, I see you have a mic. Is that what you were going to speak to?
Sure. That is definitely available, Donna. And I think about Harvey, the question that you had asked before, and it can be really helpful. You know, if you want to have someone who is like a trained chauffeur to kind of handle the limousine of our conferencing vehicle, to take care of all the bells and whistles for you while you just sit back and relax and do what you do best, we can definitely provide that for you as well. Does that support you, Donna?
You mean Maestro has somebody that we would pay to come in and do that?
Exactly.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's definitely something that's nice to know you have that option available.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks, Donna. So I want to offer you guys a bunch of tips. That's I'm guessing a lot of why some of you came to this is to learn some new things. So here we go. First of all, I want to give you a few tips about the interface itself. Okay, so and I'm guessing that some of you are going to know some of these items and not others. So if you already know how to do this, just bear with me and we'll get to something else. So, and I'm assuming you are seeing the interface again. If you're just getting on recently, the link is at maestroconference.com/screenshare. All right. So for those of you seeing my screen, you're seeing that I've sorted the interface in a particular way. Okay, so how I've sorted it is by role, first of all. So Joshua and I are at the top here. So I just clicked on role. So I'm gonna do that fresh. Okay, so I'm gonna click on role, and that has Joshua and I at the top. But if you'll notice to the right here, now the breakout groups are completely scrambled, okay, because we're sorting by the role and nothing else. So if you want to sort by breakout groups as a secondary sort, what you do is you hold down the command button on a Mac, or if you've got a PC, it's the control button. So you hold that down, and then you click on the breakout group icon. Okay? And what happens is role is still the primary sort. So Joshua and I stay at the top of the screen, but then the rest of the interface is sorted by breakouts. Okay? So here's... here's where I use this feature most often, is actually to sort by the hands. Okay, so how shall we do this? Here's what I want to ask you to do. Okay, so let's say, would a few of you just raise your hand for me? Would you press 3 on your phone? So if you're near your phone, just press 3. And okay, so you're seeing the hands going up. And but notice that they're scattered right now. I've just got you sorted by role again. So how I normally do it is I sort by role, and then I hold down command and hit the hands button twice, and that brings the hands to the top of the screen underneath role. Okay, and then I can do a third sort for breakout groups. So it's going to sort the hand. It's sorting first by role, second by hands, and third by breakout groups. So at the bottom of the screen, We're going to have the folks who didn't raise their hands, but they're also going to be sorted on their own by breakout groups. Okay, so very good. So hopefully that made sense and will make a difference for you in terms of ease and sorting the screen. My main point with that is often when I'm doing Q&A on larger calls, it's just really nice to have myself there and any other presenters or assistants so I can make sure I'm keeping track of each of our mics and having participants right underneath that. Okay, good. I just want to go over multi-select real quick. This is a small thing, but could make a big difference, especially if you're not aware of it. So, good. So, most of you probably know that you can select from this drop-down menu. You can select participants or different slices of who's on the call. But what's really helpful, like, remember when Joshua took the fives into a separate breakout group? How he did that was he, I'm sure he selected himself, and then he multi-selected by individually selecting the various people who had pressed five at that time. Okay, so how I'm doing that, what you can't see is, again, I'm holding down the command button on my Mac, or on the PC it's the control button, and that will select or deselect anyone you choose. Okay, anywhere on the interface. Now, you can do the same thing with shift. So let's say I want to highlight everyone from group 5 to group 3, from Carolyn all the way to Carol. I would select Carolyn, hold down the shift button, and that's on PC or Mac, and then hit my mouse, and that highlights everyone in between. Okay, and then I can go back to command or control and then select or deselect people in between there. Okay. So those are a couple of tips on that. Let's go into, and by the way, if you have a question about any of these, if something isn't clear, just press 1 and I'm happy to answer quick questions as we go along here. Okay, good. Carol, we'll take a quick question. Go ahead.
I just wanted you to repeat that last multi-select thing when you were selecting multiple people with the highlighting. I just didn't quite follow what that was.
Sure. So do you have a PC or a Mac?
PC.
Okay. So you're going to hold down the control button on your keyboard and then with your mouse select different people while you're holding down control. Got it?
Great.
Okay. Thanks, Carol. And Joanna, how about you?
Yeah, I have a couple questions about raising hands. So one is, because you say press 1, press 4, press 5. I've only ever used press 1. So how do you get people to press different numbers, and how does that show? And why are there hands on both sides of the screen?
Ah, very good. Good question. Okay. So How do you have them raise a different hand? You just ask them to. So I'm making light of it, but we have 1 through 5 available to you at any time. So in addition to 1, you can just you can do a poll question like, on a scale of 1 to 5, how are you feeling today? 5 being great, 1 being crummy. You know, or whatever kind of poll you want to ask, and then all of those are available to you. Okay, so whatever number they press on their phone, 1 through 5, like Joshua just pressed 5, for example, that totally works. Okay?
Fantastic. Okay.
Good. And then in terms of the left and the right side, that's a great question. The right side is the individual controls. So I've got you selected, Joanna, right now. So I can change various things related to your participation on the call. I can lower your hand. I can change your mic status here. I can change your volume. Your volume's fine, but I could either raise or lower it if I was having trouble hearing you. And then the left side, this is the group side of the interface, so this gives me a snapshot of the total hands that are up at this moment. Like there are 4 people's hands up at this time, and because I'm sorting the interface by the hands, they've all floated to the top of the screen under role. Okay?
Great, thanks.
Thank you. And let's go to Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, I'm curious,
why you left us in breakouts and muted all the lines rather than just disbanding the breakout into a big group.
Great question.
Is there a reason or a benefit of doing it that way?
Yeah, great question. Thanks. Oftentimes, I like to at least have the option to put you back in the same groups with the people you've already started connecting and getting comfortable with. So yeah, I could have hit this red dissolve button, but if I want to put you back in the same groups, all I do is select participants and hit local, and instantly you're back with your same groups. Okay? So, and Dave, I included, okay. So Dave, does that make sense?
Yes, it's a very interesting thought. All right, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I like to put you in new groups so you're meeting different people, but sometimes the comfort factor is important, and I want people to deepen their conversations throughout the call as we go along.
I always thought, I was just imagining this, but it always seemed like the quality of the sound degraded a little bit when everyone
really?
Was in breakout.
Huh.
Versus when everyone is just in the main room. It just seems a little fuzzier, like when people share, and if I call you to share, if we're on breakouts and I raise someone's mic to speak to the whole group, it always seemed like the sound quality degraded a little bit. But maybe that was only in the early days, and it's not like that anymore, and I just didn't stop doing it because I thought it was just always going to be that way or something. I'm not sure.
Okay,
I've dropped it since then.
Yeah, I've never noticed that, but I'll take a listen for that. But yeah, it seems like the sound quality is similar to me, but I'll
it does, I'll it does that now that I'm doing it with you now. It seems the same. So maybe it's gotten better, or who knows? I could have been imagining it back then. It's possible too, I guess.
Sure. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks very much. Cool.
All right, Joshua, were you going to say something? I see you've mic'd yourself.
Sure. Well, one thought to keep in mind in that respect, Dave, is if you have all of the participants muted while they're in their breakout groups, just like what we're doing here, and then we bring the big mic to you, the sound quality remains quite clear. But if you have all the participants on local mic, you might be having background noise. So you give somebody the big mic, but if they still have their local mics on in their groups, right, you could be hearing somebody's dog bark and who's still in your small group on their local mic. And that could be what is attributing to that sound quality experience that you're having.
Excellent. Thanks, Joshua. Good. So let's keep moving. I promised I would show you guys a few tips about leading a call if you don't have access to the conductor's interface for whatever reason. Let's say your internet goes down, your power goes down, or who knows. Let's say you were completely planning on being on your call and you got in a traffic jam and you're stuck in traffic just on your cell phone. So let me give you a couple of tips for how to do that. One of them, and by the way, I have some of these written up, and I'll give you an opt-in for that in a minute. But one thing you can do, if you know, let's say you know you're going to be traveling, okay? Let's say you know you're going to be traveling without access to your computer. One thing you can do before the call is to open up the conductor's interface well in advance of the call, like the day before or the week before. And, of course, you're not going to be able to get in, but you can still open the interface. And you can set the default mic state, okay? So I'm going to click on the settings button, and you guys are probably all familiar with this screen because it pops up right before you can get into the call. But what you can do is let's say it's a small call and you want all the participants to be able to hear each other, you can change the default state for callers entering the conference to be big mic, okay? So that way, you don't have to worry about it on the live call when you're traveling or you don't have access to the interface. Everyone's going to come in mic'd, okay? And then on the call, you can then ask them to press 6 to mute themselves, okay? So that's one way of handling it. Another suggestion I have is to make sure, if you know you won't have access to the interface, make sure before the call that you've got green room set to off, and that you've got welcome music set to off, okay? Because then you'll automatically go into the call and automatically have the music turn off when the second person comes in. Now, if back to our original example, if you're having internet trouble or something like that, you can't do anything in advance. You're just stuck on the live call. I'm going to give you a couple of tips, okay? And feel free to write this down. I frequently forget these and have to refer to my notes about this, so you might want to write this down. So we have two special controls for presenters and assistants. So it's not going to work for you guys because you're participants on this particular call, but if Joshua and I were to press *7, that would open all the mics in the conference at once for all 29 of us at the moment. Okay? So again, *7 for presenters and assistants opens all the mics. And again, for presenters and assistants, if you press *9, that will toggle the music on and off. Okay, so *9 to toggle music and *7 to open all the mics. And by the way, if you're stuck without internet access and you open all the mics, especially on smaller calls, that's going to be more workable than 100 people with all their mics live, but that would be chaos. But keep in mind, let's say you've got 5 or 10 people, you might want to do *7 if you don't have access to the interface. I've learned from experience that it's good to press *7 more than once throughout the call in case someone comes in late. They are still going to have the default state of local until you press *7 again and open all the mics. Okay, so those are a few tips for you. I've written up some of these tips on a page called How to Lead a Call Without Access to the Conductor's Interface. If you want me to email you that page, would you press 1 on your phone, please? And I will send that to you. Okay, great. So, I'm seeing most of you are interested in that. If you don't know how to capture people's information, that's the next tip, so listen carefully for that. Wow, I'm seeing nearly all of you have raised your hand. That's fantastic and a little disturbing, but I'm hoping that this is mostly just for a precaution and just for your additional learning. Okay, so here is how you capture people's data to follow up with them. So I'm going to select from this drop-down menu the one hand up. Okay, so I went kind of quick there, so I'll do it again. I'm selecting from this drop-down everyone who raised their hand with the one hand up. Okay, and as you're seeing on my screen, it's highlighting everyone except a few people who didn't raise their hand, which is totally fine. And I've highlighted you. Now on the almost everything you're going to use is on the Actions tab. This is on the Info tab, though. I'm going to the Info tab and hitting Copy Selected Callers. And then I'm going to go to the, I've hit Copy Selected Callers. Now I'm going to go to Microsoft Excel, which I opened previously, and just hit Paste, which is Control-V or Command-V. And there's all your information. I'm going to give myself a note, call without access to interface. Okay, so I'm going to follow up with you guys. I'm going to send you an email by BCC with a link to that page of tips. So thanks for your interest in that. So again, one more time, let me show you the capture trick. I'm going to select the one hand up, Info, Copy Selected Callers, then go to Microsoft Excel and hit Paste. And then, by the way, you've got everyone who pressed one, you've got all their information, their name, email, even their caller ID that they called in on, their current breakout level, and their current hand level. So very handy information for all kinds of things that copy selected callers. Okay, very good. Let me lower the hands. Any quick questions about either of those things, press 1. I'll take a question or two, and then we'll move on to the last piece. Dave, back to you.
Hi, and I'm so sorry. I have a burning question, but it's not related to that really super, super cool thing you just showed me.
Sure, go ahead.
We have our breakouts set throughout the course of 12-week series, okay? And so what we do is we go into the Maestro background and we fill in the custom one with their group number so that when everyone calls in, custom one is already set. And then we do the breakout by custom one. However, sometimes people call in on a different number, blah, blah, blah. They don't have their custom one. So then what we do is we try to set their custom one while the call is going on. And this change the custom one field is infuriating because if you put your mouse in there and start to type, if you don't hit enter before the screen it wipes out what you typed, and it's crazy making. Is there any chance that that's not going to be that way one day?
Yes. I totally know what you mean. I'm sure many of you have experienced that. The problem that you're talking to, what's actually happening underneath the hood, is that our system is refreshing constantly. Okay, and unfortunately, it's refreshing while you're trying to type in their custom field, or if you're trying to change their name. You might have encountered that.
That's exactly right.
I totally know what you mean. It's a known bug we're planning on fixing, and we have so many things that we're planning on adding. I'm about to tell you about a few of them that we've been working furiously on. We are planning to fix that. It's not as fast of a bug fix as I would have thought or I would have liked. So, yes, eventually we will fix that, and thanks for asking about it.
Oh, Mom, I'm sorry to derail your topic, but that thing
showed
is also a lifesaver, and I'm so happy to know how to do that. I didn't even know you could do that.
Oh, cool. Oh, good. Yeah, that capturing poll data is very
awesome.
Handy. Yeah. Good. Joshua, something to add?
Yeah, Dave, one thing that I've found, and I relate to what you're saying, so if I'm doing something with the custom fields, and maybe, Adam, you could give a quick example on the screen share where you're going in there. I'll just highlight it, and I'll type in one letter. So, like, if I wanted to, for myself, if I wanted to, I'm going to mess with my custom field, too, right now. So I highlight it, and then I'll just put in the word H, and just real quick. And I've you know what I mean? Like, so I've kind of stopped it a little bit, and I can just do it in piecemeal. So I'll do H-A-P.
Okay,
I just did H-P.
What I do. I thought I was crazy doing that, like one quick letter at a time. Okay, I'm not the only one to figure that out.
That's right. And another tip is you can type something in the custom in the staff chat, like US Northwest, and then cut and paste that, and then just paste, and then quickly hit the tab button.
That's a good one.
So I know a bunch of you have worked out some workarounds like this until we can get that fixed. So,
Joshua, thank you for that quick tip. I think of it like a video game. I'm trying to talk to my class and quickly cut a letter at a time without it refreshing.
Yeah.
It's like this is requiring multiple hand-eye coordination and concentration all at once. I see it as a challenge.
Yeah. Very good. Thanks, Dave. Good. So, goodness, there are quite. I've heard in the past, Adam, why don't you make these calls 90 minutes? And I often think to myself, no, I can get through this in an hour. And then I get on the call, I'm like, what was I thinking? There are so many other things that I wanted to share with you guys. So here's how I want to do it. I want to talk about what I promised at the beginning. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the upcoming screen share and new participant interface. I know lots of you are curious about that. And then it'll be the top of the hour. I'll close the formal call, and then I'll offer some additional tips for those of you who can stay on about advanced registration. Okay, good. So that's where we're headed. So here's the current update on the new screen share. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we are just relaunching into beta on our new screen share just today. So some of you might be in that. Let me give you the bigger picture next. So what our number one priority is, because we recently did a customer survey where we called all of our customers. Many of you talked with one of my colleagues here, and asked for feedback about the various features that we've been looking at building. And the overwhelming feedback we got was a need and a desire for screen share and some kind of webinar-like capabilities in addition to this kind of the focus on audio quality and engagement that you guys are familiar with and you're with us for. So that's what we've set out to build. We've built our own in-house screen share, and I'll say more about that in a moment. And then also, along with that, we've completely renovated our participant dashboard. So our participant dashboard, as many of you know, is quite simple. It's got some basic functionality, but we've been wanting to improve that for a long time. So we've been really focusing on that, and in conjunction with the screen share. So what it's going to be like, when this comes out, you'll have the ability to turn on a screen share. So you'll be able to share whatever's on your desktop, just like I'm doing here. But for our screen share today, we're still using a service called Glance.net. And Glance is, you know, that's a screen share program that we've paid for. But you're going to have that ability within your Maestro Conference account. So you'll be able to share your screen, and then your participants will, once we launch this, they'll be able to go to our new participant interface. Okay, and then you'll have some new controls. Okay, I think it'll be a drop-down. And on that drop-down, you'll get to choose screen share. Okay, and then you'll be able to display whatever's on your screen. Or you can do breakout view. Okay, and in breakout view, your participants will be able to see the names of the people in their small group. I'm sure many of you have had the experience, your participants are going, hi, it's Adam, is anyone there? And then, oh, good, Joshua's there, oh, good. But, you know, they can't see that. So anyway, what's coming out is they'll be able to see the names of the people in their groups and even their photographs through Facebook Connect. So that's going to be really cool. They're also going to have buttons to be able to, if they make a really great connection with someone, there's going to be a button to add them as a Facebook friend or a LinkedIn contact. So all of that will be included with that. And there will also be improved chat functionality. Right now, the chat in the participant dashboard just comes to you on the conductor's interface, so participants can't see each other's chats. But that will be changing, so it'll be more webinar-like that way as well. So all of that is what is in the works. The screen share, like I said, is just in beta today. Now, what it's going to be great for, at least in this initial format, the first stage of this is it's going to be great for sharing things like PowerPoint. That's one of our most common requests, is the ability to just share a PowerPoint, something on your desktop. So it's going to be very simple and straightforward. You'll be able to share a PowerPoint or some other, some other document on your screen. Now, we've also received many requests for webcam or streaming some kind of other video. And I do need to say that for this initial stage, when you're sharing your screen, it's going to be more like frames. Okay, so your participants will be seeing one frame at a time. So if you if I had my webcam on for that particular screen share, you'd be seeing me at this moment and at this moment and at this moment. So it's not going to be the kind of streaming quality that you or they will expect. So it's not ideal for webcam at this time. But I'm sure we're going to need to build that because the demand for that is so high. That is planned for a later stage, but not this initial stage. So a heads up on that. The other heads up is that if you think about all the bandwidth, and if you think about not just your conferences, but the hundreds of customers we've got who use our system every day, it's going to be a lot of additional bandwidth that we're taking on. So we haven't finalized our pricing yet, but we will be offering this new screen share and participant interface with some, in terms of a premium pricing package. I think we are going to have some initial launch pricing, and I'm just kind of giving you a teaser about all of this. I'm not even, you know, we don't have all of this nailed down. I'm sure many of you are wondering, well, how much is it going to be, and when does this come out? So how much is it going to be? Not exactly sure yet. So you can ask, but that's still going to be my answer until we have that nailed down. We're still figuring out our costs for the bandwidth and how that's going to work. When is it coming out? The initial beta happens today. If you we're planning on releasing this hopefully in the next couple months with both of those things, the new screen share and the new participant interface. So a quick opt-in, if you would like to be if we do a second stage of beta, would you, in which would be no additional cost, you can have that as part of your account, just in exchange for giving us feedback about how it works for you. If you want to be on that second stage of the beta launch, would you press 1 now, and I'll capture your information for when we're ready for more beta customers. Okay, great. So I'm seeing a lot of you are pressing 1. So again, I'm going to use that same tip, last call on that. Okay, good. So I'm going to select one hand up, info, copy selected callers, Excel, and hit paste. And then these are beta screen share requests. Okay, good. Thank you for those, for your interest in that. Okay, so I just said a lot, and we're now at the top of the hour. So here's what I want to do. I want to pause. I want to draw this, the formal part of the call to a close. If you need to go, that's no problem. Feel free to just drop off at any time. I know some of you are interested in the advanced registration tips I was going to offer and a couple other things, and you might have questions. So if you need to go, thank you so much for being here. I adore you guys. I love getting to work with you. And thank you so much for coming and your interest in this. So let's continue on. Let me stop and take a couple of questions. Press 1 if you've got a question. Harvey, we'll go to you next. Hi, Harvey.
Oh, hi, Adam. Running back to what happens if you lose your internet connection, you said if your internet goes down, yeah, star 7 opens a mic for everybody. They can still hit 6 and mute, right?
Exactly. That's right.
Now, when you star 9 will toggle the music any on and off. Now,
correct.
Why do you press star 7 frequently during the call?
Oh, very good question. I remember, so one time I lost internet connection, this is like a year and a half ago, and I pressed star 7 and, you know, the rest of us, the people on the call had a conversation. And after the call, I got an email from a very frustrated person saying, I was on the call, but nobody could hear me. And the reason for that is he had come on the call after I had hit star 7. So star 7 opened all the mics at that moment, but I hadn't changed the default state of callers entering the call. So he still came in on a local mic, and I hadn't hit star 7 again. So my point is just hit star 7 a few times throughout the conference, and that way anyone who has dialed in since the last time will then be mic'd. Make sense?
Very, very clear. Thanks.
Thanks, Harvey. And Mark, you had a question too. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Good to talk to you again, Adam. This is a quickie.
Yeah, you too.
Sometimes when I'm conducting a fairly large group call, I may be presenting and ask people to press 1 to raise their hand if they want to ask a question. And I'm going to take those questions at the end of the call. Is there a way to know what order people pressed? Like if everybody is pressing 1 because they want to speak, can I know who pressed 1 first, who pressed 1 second, and so forth?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm sure many of you want to know the answer to that. So in the system currently, no, there is no way to do that. But here's how I handle that is like right now, if you're are you seeing my screen right now, Mark?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. So I've got it sorted by role and hands as I often do. So I have my eye mostly on the screen. You know, I look away as most people do when, you know, as I'm talking sometimes just as I'm collecting my thoughts. But I am frequently checking back in the interface, and I'm seeing, like, right now Eric has his hand up. So we'll go to Eric next. But if someone else were to raise their hand, I would already I'd be doing it in my mind. So,
okay.
So no, there isn't a good way of doing it. The nice thing about it, unfortunately, is that participants aren't seeing this, so they don't, unlike in a live gathering where they can kind of sense who had their hand up first, they can't see here, so they don't really know. So, you know, I just do the best I can with it.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for the question. Good. And Eric, over to you.
Yeah. One quick thing on that last question. I'm just wondering, is a potential workaround for order of hands? Could you do that maneuver you did earlier with selecting hands and ranking them, where it puts it up at the top of the screen so that the first hands would be up at the top, and then as new people raised their hand, they'd be lower in the list?
Yeah, I get what you're thinking, and unfortunately it doesn't work that way. Now it's sorted you by the hands, and it may mix you up. There is no rhyme or reason for why. Yeah.
Okay.
Reason is I've done a third sort by breakout group, and so, Nathan is at the top of the list because he's in a lower number breakout group.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that wasn't my main point anyway.
Okay.
What I wanted to share in terms of a way, for using the participant dashboard to enhance interactivity. Earlier in the call when, somebody had a, question about, how do we deal with breakouts, and a little bit of silence, and there's a lot of people raising their hands for tips and not having an opportunity to take all of those on a live platform to, use the participant dashboard in that to say, okay, if you have a tip but we don't have time for it now, just please type it into the dashboard. People send it in, and then you can select that feedback from the dashboard and then push it back out through the dashboard to all the participants. So, I was modeling that by just saying, here's three tips that I think of right offhand. And if a bunch of people did that, you could capture that information so it doesn't get lost, and then feed it back through the system without necessarily having to take all the time to, take every hand, and work down to the list that way.
That's brilliant. I love that idea. Thank you so much for sharing that. Inviting people to, let me say it in my own words just so everyone can hear it another way, just typing in comments through the participant dashboard. You need to enable feedback first, and then grab it here, copy and paste it, and then hit post message, and then type in and paste it into post message here and hit post. So, great idea. Thanks, Eric.
Yeah.
And let's go to Nathan. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Adam. How are you doing?
Good.
I would just sort of want to talk with the person who said the order of hands. What I find very helpful in that when I'm presenting is to have someone helping me, and they can help me in terms of knowing which hand went up. I mean, it's not a foolproof system, but they can tell me hand that went up so people won't be waiting there an extremely long time. So to have somebody helping me as a driver or something.
Okay, good. So having the driver tracking that so you don't have to. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, very, very good. And I've often seen some, like the Shift Network, how they do it is the driver will be doing that, just like you said. And then in the staff chat, they might say something like, call on Stephanie next.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
And so if I'm running the call, I just need to track that. So great idea. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah.
Did you have a question as well, or you just wanted to offer that
tip? I just wanted to make that comment because for myself, we have tried it. Or if I'm driving and she's presenting, I just pull the person up and send a little note to her and just pull the person up so the person is on, there's no delay.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thanks, Nathan. And let's go to Stephanie next. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Adam. I'm really excited about the new participant dashboard and the question
about
the question about participants not being able to see this hand raising. Is that something that they'll be able to see with the new one?
I believe so. Yeah, we are going to add an optional view that's similar to what when I'm a participant, I always want to, now that I know what's possible, I want to see, like, who's on the call and who's raising their hands and who's got a mic. So, I'm pretty sure that that will be an option for you as the presenter. Now, on some of your calls, you may not want them to see how many people are on the call and who's mic'd and all that, and so it's totally optional. But I think, yes, we are adding that option for them to see names, mics, and breakouts and hands. Everything you're seeing in this on this initial view. I think we're building that. Don't hold me to that, but I believe so, yes.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. And over to Martin. Hi, Martin.
Hello. This is all very good. I've got four pages of notes here, so thanks, Adam.
Awesome.
Two quick question. I mean, a question that probably has a simple answer and then a harder question. The simple one is, sometimes the
the, I don't know if this is the right tech term, but the latency issue about the refresh is an issue for me. Like, for example, let's say I ask for a show of hands about something, and it might take a while for the hands to trickle in. In fact, there's been a couple times where I've asked for a show of hands about something, and, you know, seconds, painful seconds go by, and there's no hands going up, and I'm going, holy smokes, I'm not talking to anybody. Where are they all? And then they eventually start coming in. But even if it doesn't seem like it's not a big deal, but, you know, a couple seconds when I'm in my smooth flow and, you know, presenting thing, and it makes it look like I'm choking or I don't know what I'm doing when really I'm just waiting to see. So, like, if I do something like hit the refresh button on my screen, or is there any trick to that? That's my question.
Yeah, okay, good question. Once in a while, I've experienced that myself, not very commonly, but I think what I'm hearing is, what you're saying is, sometimes you'll ask a question, a poll question, and it will take seconds for the hands to show up on the interface itself. So it could be a number of things. One, it might be, I mean, I wasn't on your call, who knows, but it could be that, it's possible that it's a latency issue on our end. It's also possible that people are just thinking about what their response is to your question, especially if it's a more thoughtful. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying it's a possibility. And I try to fluff quite a bit just to give people a chance to think, and often, they'll need to hear it two or three times, especially if it's a more complicated poll, to really for participants to really figure out what's true for them and which number to press. So I tend to fluff and continue my smooth presenter flow, as you said, until I'm ready to give them 15, 20 seconds to think and get their, you know, I've got an iPhone, and if I'm a participant on the call, I might have to pull out my iPhone from my pocket and, you know, and go to the keypad, and it takes a little bit to press a number sometimes. So anyway, those are a couple thoughts I have about that. Joshua, you have something to add?
Sure. You know, one thing that I found to be effective when I've been in your shoes, Martin, is I'll just feel free sometimes to intuitively call on someone that I, you know or am uncomfortable with, who's a participant, where I'll just say, Jack, I haven't heard from you in a while. Let's go to you. Would you like to add anything to the conversation? And even though it might be a little bit of a surprise when I'm putting somebody on the spot, you know, giving them the option to say, yay or nay, I do have something to add here, that in and of itself kind of can jumpstart the conversation, and then more people will start to press, you know, one to respond to the question after they've heard someone go first. Does that make sense?
Yeah, good. Does hitting the refresh, I'm using IE, you know, on a PC platform, does that force the redraw on the screen, so to speak, coming from your end?
Yeah, once in a great while, there is some latency issue, or there's some slowdown. You know, in this particular case, if we're talking about people raising their hands, it's usually more of the human stuff, I find.
Sure.
But occasionally it is. It couldn't hurt to hit refresh. Why don't I do it now? And see, it takes 5-10 seconds, depending on browser and internet. And then I always try to remember to re-add my name to staff chat right away, so I don't show up as unknown the next time. Oops. Adam,
then
there we go.
My other question...
people will show up here in a moment. Yeah, Martin, go ahead.
My other question has to do with this kind of stuff. You know, my biggest fear is, you know, I got 50 people on a call and all of a sudden, you know, I lose them or something. And so I'm just thinking of a couple worst-case scenarios here, and these are things I wouldn't want to try, but I'm just wondering if you can tell me what happens. Like, for example, Let's say my computer freezes up and I have to do a hard boot and I come back on. If I come back on, is everybody still there?
Yeah, good question.
Them, so to speak.
No, good question. It's everyone's going to be exactly where they were when you left them. Okay. So.
Oh, okay. Good.
And this is a perfect example because I press, you know, to be transparent, I press refresh, and my screen is taking its sweet time in refreshing. There we go. Okay.
I
so everyone's
that, yeah.
right back where they were. You and I still have a mic, and that's it. So.
Okay.
That,
so they don't
so
all go
away.
The phone
is separate. Yeah, they don't go away. The phone is separate from the internet interface. The interface allows you to make changes with anything you want. You can give people mics, breakout groups, everything you're familiar with. But if you don't do any of that on the internet, it just lets it be as is.
Excellent.
Okay, and that's why it's nice. That's why it's nice to know about *7, for example, to open all the mics in case. You know, it's just, like if you get stuck, if your computer freezes and it's just you on a mic and you actually want them to be able to talk to each other, you just hit *7 and suddenly everyone will be mic'd. You could say, okay, everyone's mic'd now, you know, and proceed that way.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go to Sarah next. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for the call. It's been really, really helpful to me. My question is not related to the hands or anything like that, but we do workshops and we like to record the call and post the link to it later. But my question is, you know, we are going to be doing breakout groups. Will the recording be recording just the main room, or what is it exactly recording?
Good question. The recording, our recording captures just what's said on the big mic. Okay, that's how that works. So. And in your breakout groups, people are going to be on local mic because that's how that works, right? So so that's not getting recorded by default. So during, if you're doing a five-minute breakout group, you're going to have 5 minutes of silence on the recording.
Okay, so then if the co-presenter and I are in the green room, for example, on local mics, then that's not being recorded.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the question. And Trina. Hi, Trina.
Hi, Adam. I just have a quick question for you. You mentioned today *6 mutes people, *7 opens up all the mics. I didn't actually catch what you said about *9.
Okay, and it's just six. Just six.
Just six.
And you guys can try that if you want to try out. Go ahead. Anybody can just press 6 right now, and you'll see it will give you a local mic and then 6 again back to mute. But sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead, Trina.
No, that's okay. But what I really wanted is there a place on the website where I can get a breakdown of what all of this is?
Yes.
So that I could, for example, include it in an email to my participants ahead of time so they have a real easy place to refer to that.
Okay, very good. And that's a common request. So I'm going to send everyone who opted in a list of tips for what to do when leading a call without the interface. But in terms of what to share with participants,
mm-hmm.
it's really so simple that we've never bothered to write it up because there really isn't anything to it. The only controls that they have are 1 through 5, but there's no meaning to 1 through 5. 1 through 5 only means what you give it.
Right,
so,
it just raises their hand.
Yeah, it just raises their hand. And they're, you know, and it's, you know, if you don't tell them to raise their hand and they just randomly press 4, you know, if somebody did that on my call, I would think it must be an error because I didn't, you know, what does 4 mean? I don't know. and then it's up to you if you want to tell them to press 6 or not to mute their phone. But with that too, I prefer to just manage the mics myself. I would prefer leading calls if it's a big call. You know, it's just assumed that that everyone's muted, except for people I explicitly call on, or I could talk about that. And then on a super small call, if I'm opening all the mics, I might say, okay, we can all hear each other. Press 6 if you want to mute yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's so basic that we've never bothered to write it up. But you're welcome to write up any of that for your own participants if that would be of service to them.
No, but I would like you said, like you would email one with the *9 and the *7 and that stuff. That would be great. That
okay.
obviously doesn't go to the participants, but I would love to have
right.
that.
Okay, great.
Great.
That
Thank
is
you.
On its way. On its way. Thanks, Trina.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, good. So let me give you guys a few registration tips that I promised, and then we will move towards completion of the call. And I really appreciate your continuing on and your commitment to learning everything you can. Okay, good. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to set up a new call. And so if you are, hopefully you're seeing my screen. For those of you listening to the recording, you can follow along on your own account. So you go to your account now as you're listening, and you can follow along. I'll try to talk you through it as well. So where I am is I'm in my account on the conferences page. I'm looking at the upcoming conferences, and I'm going to go ahead and hit create conference. So I'm going to set up a new conference and then give you a few advanced tips. So, okay, so here we go. I'm going to give it a name as usual, date, time, and duration. Reservation list, of course, eliminates the date and time. Sorry to say, of course, some of you may know about that, some of you may not. So that's an option, but most calls are going to be scheduled because then you can have a reminder email. Keep in mind all conferences must be scheduled in Pacific time. And then you're going to want to estimate, you have to estimate a number of callers, and that can be a completely wild guess. That's really just for our planning purposes for our various servers. So if it's a wild guess, that's great. I would recommend leaving callers and pins blank. I normally don't talk about this, so I'll mention it here because that's what we're doing here. This is for, let's say you want to add 5 participants manually. You could do that here, but I almost never do that because I recommend giving out the self-registration link on the next page. So I would recommend just leaving that blank unless you're adding people manually, which is pretty rare. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and hit create this conference, and we're going to move on to the next page. Okay. So here we are. This is the second page where all the customization happens. Most of you are familiar with this. Lots of options here. I'm going to show you Facebook comments in case you haven't seen that. And I'm going to turn on custom fields. Okay? If you're not familiar with this, this allows your participants to add in their own custom field information that will show up as it has here. Like I added this question, it was, let me get the exact question. What is your primary role on most of your calls? Okay, and then I gave these 3 options and then at the bottom hit save changes. Okay, and that's what, and that's why on this call we have these options here. As you can see, almost all of you are presenters or a few of you are both. Okay, so, okay, so very good. That's a bit about custom fields. So you can customize these. You can customize the custom fields. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and hit save. And while I'm doing that, William, did you have a quick question about something I've already been covering with that or something else?
No. No, sorry.
Okay, no problem. I'll come back to questions later. Thanks, William. Just wanted to make sure sometimes I go quickly and I go too fast, so I just wanted to check in. Okay, so this conference is now customized the way I want it. Actually, I'm going to mention a couple things I, again, don't normally talk about. One is describe your conference. So this is where your description of the call goes. Say a little about the presenter here as well. Okay, so I'll add that. And hit save, and I'll show you that on the next page. Okay, so what you're going to normally do is once this is set, you're going to grab the caller registration link as usual, right, and copy that and then put that in your email blast, website, Facebook, Twitter, however you want to promote the call. And then when your participants click on it, it's going to look like this. Okay, very simple. Now, here's the description that I just added. Remember, I just typed this. So you can give people a little more sense about what the call is about, okay? Because they're about to register, and often they'll be like, huh, do I really want to do this? And giving them a little more information there is sometimes helpful, in addition to just the title and the date and time of the call. Okay, so you can type, so they'll type in their name and email, and then here's how that shows up, gender and location. And then people can type in their own questions here. Now, If you haven't checked this out, I want you to pay close attention to this. If you haven't seen participants' questions beforehand, so I'm going to register, and as I do, okay, there's my dial-in number and PIN. Okay, very good. So back here, I'm going to refresh the page. Now, how do you find where your participants are typing in their questions? It's going to be under registration settings. Okay? You can, they can type in their questions, and they're going to show up here. Any their comments and questions are going to show up in the second box under registration settings. So sometimes people are communicating things to you that they're expecting you to read beforehand. So what I like to do is before the call, I'll just jump into registration settings and look at their questions, or before the call when I'm planning, like that week or the day before or whatever, I'll take a look at that and see if their questions will help prompt me for my plans for the call. Now, you can add a registration and reminder announcement. Remember in my note I said I would show you how to do that. So this is where you type that. This is where you type in a note to participants that they see in both confirmation and reminder emails. Okay. So if you're just listening to the recording, this is under registration settings in that first box, and you're going to save those changes, and then that note shows up in the note from your host. So if I go to today's reminder email, you'll see the note that I added here, like, did you know you can add a note here, and then the screen share link. Okay, let me see if there's anything else. I wanted to mention Facebook comments. This is, participants can type in a comment here. In case you're not aware of this, this is really cool. This is a great way to spread the word about your conferences, is to encourage your participants to type in a comment there that will not only show up on their wall, but it'll show up on their wall with a link back to your registration page. So encouraging their friends to show up for your call as well. Okay, so those are the tips I wanted to offer about that. Let's take a couple quick questions and then call it a day. So Joanna, we'll go to you next. Hi, Joanna.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say that when you said that you'd never really manually get numbers, I found that very, very useful because inevitably I seem to always get somebody who's lost their number or they couldn't get through for some reason and they call me on my cell and they say, oh, do you have a number I can phone? And
right.
It's good to have a handy couple of numbers. And even in the message that I send out, I sometimes include a couple of extra numbers. In case you have trouble, try this number.
Fantastic tip. Thank you, Joanna. I meant to speak to that, and I'm glad you mentioned it. In every reminder email now, we've added a line at the very bottom that hopefully you're seeing here. It says, having trouble getting into your call, click here. Okay,
uh-huh.
And we built this page called maestroconference.com/getting in. And my recommendation to you is to bookmark that page if your participants ever have trouble that they ask for help for you with, is just send them to that page, because on this page we have these tips, and I'll say more about the tips, but just like you were saying, Joanna, we've got some extra numbers for them to try to get into the call. Now, what is implicit in that I'll make explicit here, is that all of our phone numbers are interchangeable. Okay, so, most people think I have to use this dial-in number. That's not true.
Uh-huh.
Any of them will work. Okay, and that's
right.
That's the principle you were using there, Joanna. Now, the PIN does need to be unique to you. If you use a different PIN or, it's not going to work, because the PIN needs to be specific to get you into that conference with whatever name that you've registered with. Okay, but the dial-in numbers are completely interchangeable. The other main thing I want to, if I could speak to everyone who ever dials into Maestro Conference, what I would say to them is, if anything doesn't work, be flexible. First of all, go to this page and try something else. Try a different dial-in number, like you were just saying, Joanna. But something that also works really well is try a different phone. Okay, not just a different dial-in number or a different PIN. Try actually a different phone if you can. So if you're normally calling it on your landline, which of course we recommend, you can try your cell phone or try Google Voice or try Skype or try something else. Okay. So I find that if one thing doesn't work, usually another thing will. There are, what I've learned working here is that the telecommunications world is very complex and complicated, and there are unfortunately many things that could potentially go wrong. And it might not even be, like if you've got AT&T, for example, it might not even be AT&T. It might be some intercarrier between AT&T and Maestro Conference, something hidden in the network, and which is very frustrating for all of us because it's hard to get at that, but that's where the source of the problem actually often is what I've learned. So anyway, the bottom line and the thing you can do something about is just to try a different phone or a different dial-in number, and usually something else will work. It's very, very rare that there's an outage on our side, and if there ever is, we have a bunch of emergency systems in place. I've seen a couple of outages in my years here, and usually within 30, 40 minutes at the most, we're back online. And it's never happened on our peak hours, which would just be a disaster for many people. So it's happened kind of on off hours and just affecting a few calls. I hope I didn't instill some fear in you. My point is that we're almost always, our uptime rate is like 99.999%. So, good. So, Joanna, thanks for asking about that and giving me a chance to talk about all that. All right, and over to Harvey. And Harvey, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Nothing going on now.
Okay, great. So, very good. So we're going to close this call now. I think what I'm going to do here is, I know there were a number of people who couldn't make today who wanted to get on this call. I'm going to offer an additional call because there are other advanced tips that I wanted to offer that I didn't get to here. So stay tuned for that. I will. I'll be announcing that shortly, next week, actually. I think we're going to have a follow-up call with additional tips, and also both for you for things I didn't get to today, and for the people who couldn't make it today. So, I'm going to take a deep breath, and thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it, Joshua. Any final words you want to offer?
Well, again, I'm equally grateful to you all for being here and really for what you're bringing to the world with all the work that you're doing with your participants. I just know some of the folks on the call, and I'm aware of what you're up to, and it just blows me away. You know, you are all so extraordinary, and if there's anything more that we can do to support you, especially if you'd like a driver for your call to support you in that respect, Adam, how would they get in touch with us if they wanted a driver to help out with all these features?
Sure, just contact support any way that's comfortable for you, phone, chat, or email. Email is support@maestroconference.com. Yeah, we're happy to hook you up. Good. All right, everyone, thanks so much for being here, and let us know if you need anything. Have a great day, everyone.